Today's scripture is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Finding your mountain is finding what matters to you. Finding what drives you. Finding your mountain isn't about reaching the top. It's about how you're transformed by each step that takes you there.
Good morning. My name is Kylie. Hi. I'm married to Phil. He's right there. He got stung by a bee yesterday. Yeah, his arm's really hurting. One time I got stung by a bee and I didn't think that he cared about it enough. So now that he's stung by a bee, I'm really trying to. If you want to pray for him later, that would be completely appropriate. Our son's name is Dax. If you've never met Dax, you should. He's the best of us. If you've seen him, you'll know because he never wears shoes. We have quit bringing his shoes in to this building. Did you bring some this morning? Even in the car, I have a unique parenting philosophy when it comes to church. I apologize to everyone who's victim of it, but I want my child to feel like this is a place where he can be most himself. Most himself. Sorry, because we're a lot. We come in, we take up a whole row. He doesn't wear shoes, he jumps around. I try to keep him, you know, in line, but I wish that we could all feel that way. The first time I went to church, I was a teenager. This is a long preamble, sorry. The first time I went to church, I was like a maybe middle schooler, and the first time I went to a real church, it was a Methodist church, full circle moment, and it was Good Friday. So all you good Methodists, what do you wear to church on Good Friday? What color would you say? Yeah, weird. That's weird, guys, that you all know that. That's not a normal thing that people know. And so I was also going to be attending Easter for the first time that year, and so I went to Kohl's with my friend Cassie, and we bought coordinating. They weren't exactly matching, but they did coordinate skirts in pastels and pastel, like maxi skirts, because we also had a little bit of Pentecostal going on in our lives. Long skirts. Pastel little shirt, so cute. So I was like, oh, I can't wait. I'm just going to wear it today. And so I wore that to Good Friday and quickly was like, oh, that's not what you do, I guess. I know there's comfort in those things. I know that there's tradition in those things. And I wish that church could be a place where you wouldn't feel dumb when you walked in your maxi skirt. You know what I mean? That's my prayer for us today. That's my prayer for us, honestly, every time we meet. That you could not wear shoes if you don't wear shoes. That you could jump off the seats if that's what you're into. Let's pray. God, as much as I can, I'm just trying to show up as you made me this morning. So imperfect. So extra. And as much as this room could hear it, I invite us all to come to this moment as we were made, imperfect, broken, lonely, tired, wired, whatever we are. We come to you as we are because that's the us that you made. And we ask you to meet us in all of your fullness and glory and beauty so that we, the true us, could experience your true love. If nothing else, that. May we know after today as we walk out of this building that we are loved just as we are. Amen. Okay, who's like a fall person? Ooh, me too. I really wanted to wear boots today. I did buy these new shoes. Do you like them? Thank you. We're not quite there, but fall is my season. And whenever this like cold gets in the air a little bit, you know, last week, it's perfect. Sometimes, I would say about once or twice a year, I have a knitting or a crocheting phase. Does anyone else knit or crochet? Is anyone else horrible at it and does it anyway? Yes, there's something about it. There's something about like knowing that if there was an apocalypse and I could still get to Joann Fabric, that I could make my family knitted garments. And there's something about it that makes me feel powerful and comforted. And I'm not, like I said, very good at it. Here's a floppy hat I tried to make for my friend. It didn't flop. You know, we're in a leave her up there for a second. We're in a series where our lead pastor at, you know, Rob, you know him? Sorry, Rob, I didn't give your title very well. He climbed Mount Everest. And this series is really tied in with him climbing Mount Everest. And I want to say that my best tie-in in this whole series, sermon that you're about to hear, is that I made this hat. And it looks like Mount Everest. Thank you. Thank you. She looks like a Simpson. I do it anyway. One time for a white elephant, I just gave away a box of bad hats that I had made. That person left it at my house. And then I had to throw it away, but I do it because it feels good. When you knit, there's this good, like, click, 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 click. It feels so good. And when you crochet, you get in this little yarn flow state. I like the over-under motion. Our scripture today is from the book of Hebrews. We just heard it from Nancy. Hebrews is written probably by Paul, though the writer is never named. And it's written to a people that aren't named either, but we know that they're very familiar probably with the Old Testament stories because of all the stories that Paul or whoever's writing this references throughout Hebrews. So really, if you ever read the book of Hebrews, you really have to read like a lot of Old Testament too to even get it to make sense. Everything that's said, you got to kind of go back, figure that out. It's kind of that kind of book. And the whole theme of it is that Jesus is greater. Not like greater, though I suppose he is, but just great, like greater than all of these other things. So in Hebrews 1 through 2, the writer's saying that Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is greater than the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. And then Hebrews 3 through 4, Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than the promised land. Hebrews 5 through 7, Jesus is greater than any of the earthly priests. Hebrews 8 through 10, Jesus is greater than the sacrifices and the covenant made in the Old Testament. And so after this whole case is laid out of how Jesus is greater than all of these ways and methods that have come before, we get to this last part of Hebrews that our scripture is in today, where the writer is saying, Jesus is greater, and so now live lives that are great. Jesus is great. Here's all of the ways. And so now that you know Jesus, you've experienced this greatness, live lives that are great. Reorient or orient your lives towards this great Jesus that we now know. And that's how we get to this scripture today. We're just going to look at the first part first, which makes sense. Hebrews 13, verse 1, let mutual love continue. Somebody say mutual. Mutual. I got that from Javon. I really liked it. That's the first time I ever tried it. It was good. I like how it feel to you guys. Natural? A little forced? Okay. Mutual love. I've been stuck on these words. It reminds me of when Jesus is talking to his disciples. We're going to look at this in John chapter 15. Verses 12 through 13, and he tells his followers This is my commandment, that you love one another. Do you hear the mutuality? That you love one another as I have loved you. So you can hear the Hebrews, right? Jesus has loved you. Jesus is greater. And so now, be great. Jesus is saying, I've loved you. Now love one another mutually. No one has shown greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are wondering, perhaps, why I was talking to you about crocheting. I wasn't just being charming. It reminded me, this kind of love, of that over-under. And how, if we want to build community, if we want to build relationship, there has to be a motion of over-under. So I made this loom, which, don't clap for me, because I did work really hard on it. And then this morning, they were playing the Friends song, and Mindy had gotten me some coffee, and I was just so hype, and I was just feeling good, and I wanted to test if this would fall down, so I punched it. That was too much. And it fell to the ground and shattered and is now taped together in about 8 places. When you make a textile, which you didn't know this is what you were learning about today, but it is, you have warp, which is the long strings, and then you have weft, which is the horizontal strings. And to become one thing, the warp and the weft need to take turns. You go under, you go over. You go under, you go over. And it's this movement that makes all these separate pieces one piece. Living in community together, loving how Jesus loved, being a church community, or a marriage, or friendships, or parents. We are reenacting all the time the gospel as Jesus put it in John. You die so someone else can live. Do you only die? No, because then everyone would be dead. You die so someone can live, and then you take your turn living. And someone comes behind you. And it's this movement, this taking turns, this mutual love that creates something greater than anything we've seen or experienced before. This exact thing is demonstrated in the next verses of Hebrews as well. We read verse 1. Let's add on verse 2. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And like I said in Hebrews, there's a lot of references to the Old Testament, and this is one of them. This entertaining angels without knowing it. It's referencing the story of Abraham and Lot, way back in Genesis 18, 19, where they invite some strangers into their house. They show radical hospitality protecting them. It's a very problematic story. I'm not going to go into it, but radical hospitality to these people. And it's these angels that tell Sarah that she's going to have a baby. And so in this little verse referencing this big story, what we hear is, don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers. In doing so, some of you have entertained angels which blessed you. The mutual love is summed up here like that. We give, we get. We give, we get. Over under, over under. As I was talking to Rob about his sabbatical, he was sharing some stories about how he, an introvert, really made a conscious decision to stay aware of other people and to challenge himself to be present to those people throughout his sabbatical. As an introvert, he made a conscious decision in order to stay aware to the people around him, he was going to be very present. He was going to ask the next question. He was going to start conversations. He was going to put himself out there. And he told me all the times that he was blessed because of that. How many introverts in the room? What up? Woo! I want to make a graph. That was a lot. How many extroverts? Okay. That is interesting to me. Do you want, have any guesses on me? I'm an extrovert. And as Rob was talking, I was like, I think I would have to make the opposite choice. In order to be aware and present to the people around me, I would have to make the conscious decision and do have to make this decision. Sometimes I don't, but I should, to step back, to stay quiet a little longer, to let other people come forward. And so it brought to light to me as we were both sharing that we have tendencies to err one way or the other. And it might be because of personality, but it also might be because of trauma or hurt. It might be because of the circumstances you're in. Maybe at work, you have a tendency to do one thing, but at home, you have a tendency to do another. It might be that you're just conditioned to be a certain way. Little girls act like this. Little boys act like this. You know, it's just conditioning. But what I want to draw our attention to today is that the error mind to always be up front and loud and talking and present and blah! If I'm always in front, it doesn't work. The air, which I think in the church world is what we just celebrate so much, to always be the one supporting, to always be the one who's quiet, to always be the good listener. Yeah, guess what? That doesn't work either. And I think that we can get a clue, get an invitation, that we're erring one way or the other if we often find ourselves outside of community. Sometimes people are forced out. Sometimes people aren't welcome here, and that's an injustice. But sometimes, if you are the one finding yourself continually feeling like, I'm always left out, it's an invitation, I think, sometimes to ask yourself, did I miss a movement? Am I always giving? Am I always taking? Am I always out front? Am I always behind? Because Jesus invites us to a love of mutuality, not of just one or the other. Every time I get into a crocheting phase, I imagine that Phil, if he was a less generous person, might wonder to himself, why? Because yarn isn't as cheap as you'd want it to be, really. Especially if you get the stuff that feels really good. Also, it takes forever. It really takes a long time. Also, I'm not good at making anything. So there's another why would you be doing this? And also, you can buy hats at stores. You can buy hats that look good at stores. And I think it's easy to wonder the same thing about loving this way. Why would we bother with this over-under work? Because it does have a cost, doesn't it? Dying to what you want, dying to what you need in a moment, so that someone you love can have what they need in a moment, so that they can live in that moment, that has a cost. This kind of community also takes forever. I had a friend, who's lying? It's my counselor. I pay her for friendship. She told me it takes 3 years in a place. 3 years? I've never had a job that whole long. 3 years in a place to feel like you belong. Is that good news to anyone, though? It's kind of good news because it's like, oh, maybe that's why I feel like a weirdo. I just need to stick around. It takes forever. I think another thing is we just aren't really that good at it. I think we make weird hats in our love. I think for me, I kind of know I'm extra. Every time I walk down the aisle, every morning, I walk out of here about 7 times every service, and I just avoid eye contact with you all. Because I think, oh my gosh, they're thinking, what could she possibly need now? It's 1 hour that she needs to be in this room. Where's she going? And so I cast my eyes low, and I walk as fast as I can to get my kid a marker or whatever I'm doing. We're like very aware that we're not good at it. We're very aware of our shortcomings. And we're very aware that the church or marriage or friendship has failed us before. Man has it. Here's the good news, bad news of it. If you were hurt in community, if that was the context that your heart was broken, the only place you can heal that up is in community. Maybe not the same one, but we need to find a safe one. If you break your arm, you don't put a cast on your leg. So though we're very aware that we're not good crocheters, we're very aware that we're maybe not very good at loving, we're very aware that maybe the communities we're in aren't so perfect either. The good news, bad news is that's exactly where we need to go. We need to try something new. We need to experience something new. We need to allow new people to come behind us in those moments when we need it. And that's the only way we can heal the times that the people who should have been there weren't. How many of you, another show of hands, I guess I'm into that today, learn the most about God when you're in nature? Me too. And I always forget until I'm in nature. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I should be in front of computers less. This is really good. I went for a walk the other day. Here's a picture of Holiday Park. Good place to walk. And I was looking at all these trees, and I was thinking about this sermon, and I remember this podcast I listened to a while ago, and I will tell you the podcast after if you're interested. There's some big swears in there, so I don't want to give it to just everyone. But if you can handle a big swear, then I will give you the pod. I will trust you. It's a good podcast. I don't know why they did it. Anyway, this podcast was about something just amazing. Okay, so imagine you're in a forest. You're in a big forest with huge, tall trees and saplings and all kinds of different trees. And you're walking, and there's no bugs, and it's a perfect temperature, okay? This is great. It's everything you like about inside except your outside in this imagination, okay? And we all know that what you see above ground, you know, you see this whole forest. And I think we know also, I'm going to imagine you took this much biology in your life, that trees have roots. Yeah, we all know that. And so we know that there's this whole thing going on underground too. But this is so cool. Okay, show this next picture. This podcast was about a web of fungus. Isn't that exciting? A web of fungus called the mycorrhizal web. I made up that pronunciation. And basically, okay, you see the roots of the trees. They're kind of brown. You see all those that white stuff? That's the fungus. You guys are not impressed, but you're going to be, so stick with me. These roots, these fungal roots, are hollow. They're tubes. And what biologists are learning is that trees use these fungal roots. They got real cute with it. They call it the wood wide web. Use these fungal roots to communicate with one another. You know, when we learn about the forest, you probably know what, like, photosynthesis is. Plants need light, okay? Well, when you're in a really dense forest, how do these little saplings, when they're shadowed by these huge trees, how do they get what they need? Let me tell you, the fungal web. Trees are passing to one another what they need to survive. When a tree gets a disease and it's dying, it takes all the things it has and it passes it to other trees through this fungal web. Our whole forest system is connected underground. Why am I telling you this? Because it's cool. And also, to remind you that we are created for one another. I think one of the reasons that the nature speaks so loudly sometimes is because it's not pretending. I was on that hike, and there was this tree, and its bark was all messed up. And I was like, that tree has no need to put makeup on. Its bark is messed up. There was an old tree rotting. I was like, way to go. Own your age. There's baby trees, there's crooked trees, there's trees with weird nests in them. Nature is not pretending. Nature is what nature was created to be. And you know what? We were created to be together. And it is a lie that we can do it alone. It is a lie. The last verse in our scripture today, when Rob told me it was going to verse 3, I was like, oh, that's not cute. I had to chew on it for a while. Let's read it together. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Verse 3. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Real uplifting ending where he chose to end that, huh? Nancy's like, yeah, I had to read it to everybody and then say thanks be to God. Hebrews was written to a group of people who were being imprisoned because they were sharing the message of Jesus. And so what the writer is saying here is, when a member of your community is locked away, visit them. The world is very lonely. There are a lot of people on the ground. There are a lot of people who have been excluded from this on purpose. There are a lot of people who exclude themselves from this. And through this lens that we're looking through this scripture, I think it is our job to go get them, to make space, to demand space, to scoot over, to go to the people who are locked away, either in very real physical ways or just within themselves, believing, I could never have it. I'm not worth it. I'm too scared. It is our job to be the fungal web, church. I'm so excited to say that. Maybe it's you down there. Another raise your hands, but I want to try this. I want you to be honest. The first time I thought of this, I was in a women's group of about 12 people. It was an intensive discipleship group, which... ooh, I would never sign up for that now as the person I am. But back then, I was like, yes. So we sat around this circle, and we were trying to have a baby at that point in our life. We've been trying a long time, and it all worked out real great. Remember the kid with no shoes? That's mine. But at the time, we didn't know that. And it took me about 4 weeks of this group to realize that I could engage, because what was stopping me was I felt like I don't fit with these women because I don't have a kid. And they're all talking about, oh my gosh, all the things. And if you've been in that seat, you know how lonely and awful and just what do you do with your face? I mean, it's a hard place to be. And about week 4, there was a lady who started talking about how she felt she didn't fit. How many of you right now in this church, and I do want you to raise your hand, and then I want you to look around, have a reason that you do not fit in or belong in this place? raise them high. And now I want you to look around and see all the people that you have so much in common with. Keep your hands up. Because I think in every circle we enter, in every loom we try to weave in, there's a reason we think, I belong down there, and that is not for me. Those people all have bleh in common. Well, I'll tell you what you all have in common. Everybody feels weird. Everyone. And so if it's you on the floor, I want to invite you, what would it look like to try again? I'm not telling you how to do that. This is not a sales pitch for something. What would it look like for you to enter in to the over and under of this great love that we've been invited to? Band, you can come on up. The band's going to play for a while, and we're going to do a thing. And it's going to take a while. I didn't make this a very efficient process, and I did it on purpose. We're going to practice being inefficient. I think we need more of that. But up here, there's a bunch of ribbon. And I know a lot of you don't care, but I would care deeply which ribbon I got, personally. So that's a little reason I made it inefficient. I want you to find your ribbon, and if you don't care, don't care. Just grab one. It doesn't matter. I'm feeling this one right now. Thanks, Beck. We're going to come up, and as you want to, and you're going to weave this in. We're going to make something together. If you're going, oh, girl, I don't weave, it's okay, because look, there's a guide. You find one of these strings, and you just follow it. As I was making this, and I was thinking how this would work for us, I was like, oh, I really want people to weave, but how are we going to do it? Because it'll need a guide. It reminded me that Jesus has done this work. We don't need to do it perfect. You don't really need to even know how. You just do the next right thing as you follow him. What is love in this moment? Is it an over? Is it an under? Oops, I messed up. It's okay. Try again. Do you understand your directions? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, you've invited us into something great. Something great and hard and costly and ugly sometimes. Oh. But it's something you've created us for. Something we need. Oh, we're lonely sometimes. Help us meet each other and fill in the gaps.